Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
John said we might have an all-cat Super Bowl. All right,
y'all. What should we make of Carson Palmer's Bengals career? Will Joe Mixon have his finest season yet? And is it time for Willie Anderson to get into the Hall of Fame? Coming up, we'll answer those questions and more, so get ready for biting analysis and illuminating insights from John the Brain Sheeran, pseudopsychology, vegan Buddhist recipes, and rune reading from Dr. Hoji the Electric Smoji, and uber-capitalist and borderline fascist ramblings from a man who would make the love child of J.P. Morgan and Joseph Stalin turn in his grave. Daddy-o Moustache McDuke, because this is the number one Bengals podcast.
Wow, that was nice.
Yeah.
So profresh.
Thank you, HR. Wow. Well.
Profresh, not profesh, because it was fresh and professional.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to start kind of sticking to an agenda, having a little regiment. Yeah. We've been getting a little willy-nilly the last few weeks.
Don't throw out an agenda with Daddy-o. He'll take that the wrong way.
That's true.
Well, welcome to the Number of Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Daddy-o McDuke. I'm joined as always by Dr. Roger Electric Smoji and John Willie Nelson Sheeran. And of course, we have HR in the room. I'm talking about Richard Janchow. Did I read that right? I think I did.
No. But it's probably your best yet.
Thank you.
Bridget Jankars.
And we have a very exciting show. We have a very special guest who paid a lot of money to be on the show.
Yeah.
And we're going to have him on for the final, the second to last segment. But before that, we have some off-season material for you. We're going to be talking about, as Bridget said, we're going to be talking about the legacy, if you can call it that, of Carson Palmer. We are going to be talking about Willie Anderson and the Jungle to the Hall campaign. And we are going to talk about Joe Mixon's efficiency and effectiveness this year. But first, we got to talk about Brinks.tv, because they have just released very insightful, a fun podcast. It's called Mr. Believe Me Dear, and it is about all the kind of behind the scenes thing about the show Mr. Belvedere that nobody really knew when they were filming, that Mr. Belvedere was actually from the Bronx and he faked his accent. And you have Wesley, the child, was actually a very established theater, actor who was just walking around on his knees. Nobody knew that either. So a lot of fun things about that show. Yeah.
Can't wait to watch that.
You got to listen to that and watch that and bring stuff to you. But also, make sure that you like and subscribe and comment and turn on notifications and leave messages in the chat. But most importantly, to share the podcast with your friends. Tell them, I watched this. Yes, I'm not ashamed of it. And by the way, we took a poll of what fans want to see in terms of merch, and it seems the most popular opinion is the mustache and beard of me and Hoji, and so we are going to get working on making that merch for you. So
does John, the curtain match the drapes? That's what they want to know,
right? John, how are you doing?
Doing good, man, but I feel like, I don't know, it feels a little unfair, especially to Bridget, because growing facial hair is a little bit harder for her, but also for me, because I don't really grow like that good of facial hair. So I feel like I'm.
What, you've got the eyebrows?
I'm a little discriminated against. I'll be honest with you. I'm just a little bit.
Well, like in the DNA of sports logo, John, you have the hat. You have the hat represents the John.
I guess.
Yeah. Brains can't grow hair.
Yeah, was anyone interested in like also the profile of a very long mid-30s lady's hair and eyebrows for John?
The H represents the HR in the DNH. So have that.
I want to use whatever you're using on your hair for my beard, the conditioner or something. Is this natural fruit juices or what is it, Bridget? Because it looks great.
Paul Mitchell.
That's it.
Okay, so Jungle to the Hall. Let's get to the Jungle to the Hall. And a lot of people are saying, put Willie in, insert Willie in into the Hall of Fame, thrust Willie in. All these different things they're saying to get Willie Anderson.
People aren't saying it just like
monetization,
that
deal.
They're saying NSFW, get Willie Anderson.
NSFW.
Yeah, this whole show.
Willie
Anderson basically belongs in the Hall of Fame. And John knows it more than anybody. But our good friend Bengal Jim Foster has a campaign. He's run the campaign. And he gets all of the peasants and the vulgars and all those people to come out and show their support. Yeah. For the rank and file Bengals fans to come out and show their support, because obviously, you know, that can impact the kind of the PR for these organizations. And John, what do you think is gonna happen? Is it gonna have an impact? Or are we gonna get Willie in?
I don't think he's going to get in anytime soon. I feel like if anyone has a chance, it's going to be either Ken Anderson or Ken Riley, just because they've waited a longer time. I think there's been new, I don't want to say legislation, but there's been new rules with Hall of Fame where it's like more senior candidates can be inducted. So there'll be more consideration for those people first. I think with Willie, I think there just needs to be more time with him. It's just hard with him playing in an era where the Bengals just were not good at all, and despite that, he still had the accolades of Pro Bowls and All Pros. But unfortunately, like the voters, they will account for team success. They will account for how you impact how good your team was. And unfortunately, Willie's impact as a phenomenal right tackle, arguably the greatest of his generation and maybe of all time, it still didn't change the good fortunes of the Bengals as a team. But the more successful the Bengals are now, I think it makes the organization and the franchise look better to those people who are very antiquated. So I'm gonna say no for Willie right now, but down the road, maybe.
What do you think about Anthony Munoz and his new role? That help at all?
Yeah, I think like it's nice that he's kind of involved in that part of the process. Unfortunately, it's not necessarily, I don't think, going to help with like convince the voters to vote for Bengals, but obviously they have a ton of respect for him and what he's done with everything outside of football. So maybe, but still, I still think it's just a little too early for Willie.
So I want to move us to
hit the puberty of his Hall of Fame career, Willie, before he's ready.
Yeah.
Well, I know Daddy-O wants to talk about his favorite person next, but I have to take offense to the rank and file Bengals fans at that event.
Riffraff.
They're important.
The riffraff?
No. Why do you take offense? You don't like seeing their faces? You think you're better than them? You think that you can just say, hey, I don't want to ever see you and stay out of my way because I'm one of the elites? You can't do that.
What
have you just done, Daddy-O?
You think because I'm
a masterful
ticket
holder. That was a masterful turn.
What is
saying
the season
ticket holders have no. Only the season ticket holders, what? You get to vote for the Ring of Honor. Now you're the only ones who even get to show up at the stadium? Come on. That's ridiculous. Okay, let's move on to Carson Palmer's legacy. And again, legacy is most definitely a strong word. You can use legacy for a guy who had about one good regular season, if you will. Yeah. But look,
he had a leg.
Egregious.
There's a lot of controversy on Twitter when one brilliant person who thinks, kind of goes against the grain and thinks outside the box, he came out and he said, come on, maybe Carson Palmer wasn't so great.
Wait a minute, it was you.
Inside, well, doesn't really matter, does it?
But it does.
John, we had a little back and forth, and John agreed with me that Carson Palmer...
What is the purpose of this? Is it just because you got ratioed on Twitter?
It's the off-season. I got ratioed, and this is... I don't want to get ratioed again by responding on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, and if I might point out, Daddy, what is that? I mean, you looks like you have a Joe Burrow bobblehead. Those aren't out yet. next to you.
Yeah.
I mean, is that just a... Is that just a Carson Palmer?
Burrow, yeah, no, I was... So I went down to the stadium. It was on the corner of Elm and Pete Rose Way. I went there, and they were selling Bengals memorabilia, and the guy actually had the Carson Palmer bobblehead, and I said, no, no way, get that out of my face. He said, I'll be right back, and he brought me the Joe Burrow bobblehead.
That is a Carson Palmer bobblehead. No, they just put the...
The first one he brought was. That's true. But this one...
You're saying you can't tell the difference between that bobblehead and a Joe Burrow bobblehead?
It says Joe Burrow on the bobblehead. I mean, it is a very
ugly depiction. Do all quarterbacks look alike to you?
No, not all quarterbacks. Do all white quarterbacks look alike to you?
It's a very... Look, it's a very ugly depiction of Joe Burrow. I would say
they could...
I would say that he could even file for defamation from the way they made him look.
They really made him look like Carson Palmer.
I mean, it looks disgusting.
That the fact that you bought it from a homeless man who disappeared for a minute and came back with a bobblehead very quickly that no one else can find, because no one's been able to find the Joe Burrow bobblehead yet.
But here's the thing. Why would anybody sell Carson Palmer? Why would they ever own it? Why would they not burn it like we burned his jerseys? But look, John, I want to talk about Carson Palmer's performances. Now, he had that one regular season where he had about five... You know, Hall of Fame caliber players on the offense, and he had they had a lot of momentum. They're doing really well, and basically, John, other than that, if you look at in the playoffs, he had one real game where he finished the game for the Bengals, and John, it was against the Jets, and I don't know if you saw that game if you're too young, but he had an ANYA, so adjusted net yards per attempt. Let me see if I'm reading this right, because it's so small. I have to get my reading glasses. 2.18, John. 2.18. I didn't know that you could throw the ball and end up with 2 yards per attempt. And he also had a quarterback rating of 58.3. And
seems more of a shove than a throw, really.
Yeah. He was more of a little shove. But here's the thing, John. Also in primetime, of course, is... And by the way, that playoff game against the Jets, all of those numbers were significantly lower than what one A.J. McCarron had in a terrible game offensively, where it was raining and they didn't do anything for three quarters. He has still had way better numbers than Carson Palmer. And then you go to, John, you go to his Cardinals career, because he says, hey, the Bengals are a mess. They're this. Joe Burrow shouldn't go there. Then they go to the Super Bowl. He's like, oh, Joe Burrow should have stayed there. They're not going to get him a line and all that kind of nonsense. So he goes to the Cardinals, and he says, this is a real NFL team, right? And they put a great roster around him, great coaching. And, you know, they're Super Bowl contenders. And he has an MVP caliber season with the top three, top five voting MVP that year. So no one could say, oh, he was injured. He was this. All the excuses they make. He was having a great season. And then, John, what does he do? He throws six interceptions in two games. Six interceptions in two games. And he... Trying to find other numbers here. But
Daddy, how long ago was all this?
How long are you going to keep talking?
Was just, yeah, I was
30
what's
seconds?
The point
you're just going like, to cut wait, me off in 30
I just,
seconds.
I just want to know. I just want to know, like, how long ago did these events happen in history?
This was the Cardinals one was 5-6 years ago. 6 years ago.
Okay. Carson Palmer is one of the most talented quarterbacks to ever wear a Bengals jersey because he was a number one overall pick who won a Heisman Trophy. He was a legitimately great quarterback.
In Cincinnati, John.
Who gives a crap? In 2005, he was really good. In 2006, he was also really good. He got injured in 2008 after a down year in 2007. He continued to be injured in 2009 when they just ran the ball 400 times. Then in 2010, the team was a joke, and he won it out of there because the team
was a joke. He was the reason they were a joke, John. He threw 20 interceptions.
And then he changed teams a few years later, and then he was still really good at 35 years old.
He was terrible on the Raiders.
John.
Carson Palmer was a much better quarterback than
Andy Dalton. I have a question.
I wasn't talking about that.
Was it Heisman with an S or with a Z? Because quarterback I was coaching won the Heisman with a Z, and I'm telling you that was a very easy thing to win.
John, here's what I want to say.
7-Eleven
sponsor. You compared him to Dalton. On Twitter, they were saying, oh, we would have done the same thing we did this year with Burrow with Palmer if he was healthy. That's what I'm saying is a lie. No, Palmer would not have won us three playoff games. No way.
McCarron maybe.
This whole segment is to justify the crappy bobblehead that Daddy-O got on the corner.
No, Bridget, you have to listen. Bridget, you have to understand. On this show, once in a while, we descend into this weird obsession that Daddy-O has with.
Oh, I know.
He still owes me money.
Okay, it reminds you of some people who are obsessed with China or some people are obsessed with
tickets, man.
You
got, that was a miss.
You okay, got look. Duped. You got duped. You now own a Carson Palmer bobblehead.
That's not the Carson
let's
Palmer.
Talk about
you didn't
default.
Land on Carson Palmer. Carson
Mixon.
Palmer landed on
let's,
us.
Let's, the talk poor about guy, the, let's talk about
it
now.
Was very hot. Let's, no, it was very hot last week. The poor guy put his Joe Burrow bobblehead in the sun, and it ended up looking deformed like Carson Palmer. Look, let us move on to the Joe Mixon discussion, John. Because I want to know what you think. You have studied the offensive line. You love the offensive line. And you finally have an offensive line, and so does Joe Mixon, John. What does that mean? Because look, he's entering the, let's be honest, he's entering the point in his career where running backs who run as hard as him and with such bad lines as him tend to have a little less zip, little less pop, right? So we have this combination where Joe Mixon, who arrived in 2017, after we lost Whitworth, after we lost our best offensive lineman, he finally has a top 15, let's say, offensive line. So is he still at the point where, basically, is he going to have that season? Is he going to have that 1,500-yard, 1,800-yard season where,
yes.
You know.
What year is it? Like, are the Bengals, do they want to be the Colts where they just lean on Jonathan Taylor and then don't get into the
well,
playoffs?
Well, they said they want to, they can't, they said that teams are
going to every team wants to run the ball into the dirt until they realize it's not the optimal way to run an offense. Because running the ball inherently is just safer. It's not pushing the ball.
We're
going to
say efficiency-wise. Let's say efficiance-wise. Is his efficiency going to go up? Is he going to run
efficiency
more?
Efficiency should go up, and that should be the point. Like, yep. The whole thing with Mixon is that for, what, 4 or 5 years now, he's had to struggle behind a bad offensive line because they've tried to build the offensive line after investing a high draft pick in a running back, which is the opposite of what you should try to do. So now they're paying Mixon $10, $12 million a year to get optimal production out of him, and they couldn't do that because the offensive line matters more than the running back himself. Now they have the offensive line in place. Mixon, luckily, is still in his prime. He's still very athletic. He can make something out of this offensive line. He can be a more efficient runner, and he can get more yards per carry, all that jazz. I don't think it means that they should run him 300, 350 times into the dirt behind that offensive line. The offensive line will also just block for Burrow better, and that will lead to them passing the ball better. And then you can be more diverse. You can be more unpredictable. And then that will also help Mixon as well, because you're not running in obvious running situations because you have to, because you can't rely on the pass protection. So the efficiency will go up. I'm not sure that the total attempts will go up, and I don't think it needs to.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. But good job.
John, you would agree that, okay, fine, this is a different NFL and the quarterback and passing matters more. But the best games the Bengals had last year also happened to be Joe Mixon's best games.
Yeah, but see, John, what he's saying and what we've realized is that you have the best games when the passing offense is working. And what I was trying to say, John, is that we're not going to maybe have as big of chunk plays, the 30-yard pass plays that Joe Burrow excelled in last year, because they're saying they'll try to take it away from us. So I'm saying maybe we have, you know, more pass attempts, shorter pass attempts, and we have more situations where we have a 3rd-and-2 and so forth. Yep. And maybe Mixon is more involved in critical situations. But okay, let's go to Joe Burrow. Speaks up. Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Do you have a surprise guest here?
Not yet. Daddy cares. Okay. Gotcha. Joe Burrow, he only paid for 7 minutes. But Joe Burrow speaks up. And so here's the thing.
Instaflammatory.
Joe Burrow. Yeah. Joe Burrow,
well, I take
went on Instagram, and he said, and I quote, sorry, get the paper here. He said, "I am not for murdering babies." And this caused a lot of commotion. It caused a lot of controversy. I didn't know it was such a debated topic. I didn't know that it was such a hot button topic, if you will.
You but didn't know abortion against, or you didn't... Hold on, wait a minute. Yeah. Time out.
Murdering you babies. He said he's against it. Yeah.
You didn't know abortion was a hot topic, or hold on, let me guess.
Yeah.
You didn't know that abortion had anything to do with fetuses.
No. I just read the first line of his post. It said, "I am not for murdering babies." And I thought it was obvious. I agreed with it. But apparently a lot of people did not. And I thought that was interesting. John.
Bridget, what do we do in this scenario?
He's that mustache.
What do we do in this scenario, really? I mean, it's such a tough scenario.
Go back and you guys let me read the first line. At least I read the first line.
So, but, first off,
hold on. I think we have to. Do you know how babies are born? I think we need to start at the basics.
We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that.
I think he thinks a stork is involved. Go ahead.
And, you know, with who he is, let him. Let him think that. He doesn't vote. We know that. So Joe Burrow shared, I think what we need to make really clear is Joe Burrow shared a post, and I don't remember the name of the account of the post he shared. So this is not something Joe Burrow wrote on his own. It's he shared a what I would call pro-woman post. Other people may not agree with me. That's my opinion.
Yeah, sister.
And that's how I took it. I really appreciated it. I take offense, a 7-year-old intern, to the insta-flammatory post. I thought it was Joe Burrow using his platform. But he shared the account. CJ Uzama shared the exact same post from the exact same account.
Typical to CJ. Just copying everything.
Following Burrow about 6 or 7 hours ago today. But this is not something like Burrow came up with, this 3-page pro-woman post. This was
Bridget, I shared it too, just for the record. Yeah. But that's okay. There are three of us.
Thanks.
Yeah, but they all just pay attention to Joe Burrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that he did a couple weeks ago. Like, he's getting praised for doing the absolute bare minimum. And it's not a bad thing that he's doing the bare
minimum.
John,
you sound jealous too, John.
I'm not jealous. I'm just saying it's good what he's doing, but people are making a huge deal out of it.
Yeah. Good, it's not good save.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice gesture. I will say I appreciate athletes have a big platform. I appreciate him using it to acknowledge something that means a lot to me. I'm sure others who don't agree with it don't like it, and that's the media debate.
Yeah,
and I think it's a nice segue.
Yeah. So let us see if our next guest agrees or disagrees and wants to debate.
You want to put him on the spot about the big issues.
Yeah. Okay. So now I want to welcome Mr. Greg Landeslide to the
Landsman.
Show.
Landsman. Greg's Landsman.
Here we
Welcome.
Go. Daddy
Welcome.
Cares.
Thank
Here
you for
go.
Having me. It's yeah, quite a
thank
show.
You. Yeah. So, Mr. Landeslide, you...
Landsman.
You are a councilman.
Yeah.
Which we learned from Reggie Wilson, who was on our show. Reggie Williams, who was on our show.
Yeah, he was a councilman. Yeah.
He was a councilman, and he played in the NFL.
So we kind of like him better than you, Greg, because he was both a Bengal... and making the city of Cincinnati better. Are you going to try out for the Bengals anytime soon?
If they'd have me, I'd try out.
Okay.
You never know.
So, Greg, I'm looking at your resume here.
Yeah.
I see that you started the Every Child Capitalist campaign. And I think that makes sense to me. But then I started to read the details. And it says what? It says, let us give these... free books to economically disastrous children. And
he can't read.
He needed one of those books.
Well, my question is this.
Yeah.
What happens there? Because all these booksellers, they're just trying to make a living.
Yeah.
And you are, I don't want to use the word communist, obviously.
Yeah.
Because I know that's probably not good for you.
The books get paid for. We pay for the books.
It's
called taxes.
No, this was philanthropy. So philanthropy pays or paid for the books, and kids get them or got them for years and years for free. Kids that whose parents might not otherwise have a bunch of books or, not because books are expensive necessarily, just time, you know. And so the way it works is every kid gets a book for the first 5 years of their lives every month. So they get 65 books, and they start reading at night more often with their parents, and it's just it makes a big difference in terms of brain development and the relationship with the parent.
I wasn't under five, but they basically looked at my height and they let me sign up. The thing is, they used to tell us this fairy tale that Dolly Parton delivers the books to your house when you're asleep or something like that. But
Dolly Parton is huge on our island.
I don't know what the number is. We've done over 1 million books here in Cincinnati. She's been at this. It's her program. I can't imagine the number, but she does it all over the country. So it's got to be tens of millions, maybe a billion books. I don't know. It's a lot of books.
Wow. That he's it's a lot of books.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of critical theory in them, is what I'm hearing.
No, there's no critical race theory.
No critical theories. Okay.
They're just children's books.
I'm sorry,
critical theories, like mind, like teaching them how to think and all that, but they're okay with that.
Mr. Landsman, I apologize on behalf of my guest. He knows nothing about politics, but I have come with some questions.
Okay, fire away. Yeah.
Okay. Senator Landsman, what about Billy, a six-year-old vegan whose parents consistently forget that honey is not a vegan food? He lives without any basic human rights, consuming bee urine-infested, supposedly vegan foods. What can you do for Billy? And Senator Landsman...
For Billy?
Yeah. What about Trisha, a 30-year-old real estate agent who despises using petroleum gas guzzling cars but can't currently afford an electric vehicle with all the options she needs, such as panoramic sunroof? What can we do for Trisha, Senator Landsman? Senator Landsman, let's not forget about Herman. Herman has created his own language, and yet everyone from his employer to his landlord insists that he translate all of his writings into English. Senator, how can we help Herman?
You know, I'm assuming that this is sort of a take from the Joe Burrow retweet, because it wasn't that how Burrow isn't wasn't that the content?
No, these are just how I talk.
Oh, okay, because
he's the
only
one who knows these people. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know any of these people, so I'm not entirely sure how we can help.
Billy Trisha Herman.
Yeah, Billy. I hope there's a way to help. I don't know. I'm not clear.
Let me ask you about
what about Hoji? He's stuck on a dead end job.
Yeah.
Hosting some show supposedly about the Bengals.
Yeah.
What can you do for Hoji? No, I'm kidding.
I just hug him, you know, and tell him that he's loved. Yeah, you know, and that he's special and not to give up.
So I will step in because my co-hosts just cannot be trusted with company. So Greg and I have known each other for a long time, doing work for kids and families. And so one of the things I love about being a Bengals fan is getting to celebrate the city of Cincinnati and doing great things. Greg has been on city council, and now he's running a campaign that'll cover Hamilton County District 1. But Greg, first of all, tell us a little bit about your Bengals fandom, but also what does this mean for the city, and how are you thinking about just making Cincinnati the best that it can be? Because I know as Bengals fans, we think we're on the up and up, but what does that mean to you?
So it's a huge thing for the city to have the Bengals be as successful as they were last year. I mean, economically, it's a huge boost. In terms of just the amount of people around the country, around the world that are watching Cincinnati, thinking about visiting Cincinnati. It's the number of eyeballs on Cincinnati has just, grown exponentially because of how well the Bengals did last year. It also helps, I think, with, sort of the collective pride and a sense of possibility. When you have a team that's, doing as well as they did, and in the way in which they did it, right? No one really thought they could do it. And there was, even when they got to the playoffs, we all thought, we're going to lose in round one. And then we didn't. And then, we beat the Chiefs, and then we somehow beat the Titans. And then we, get to the last 2 minutes of the Super Bowl. So I think it has a huge impact. And so into my own personal relationship with the Bengals is, I was in sixth grade in 1989. So I, this was, formative for me when they went to the Super Bowl, and I was so in. I was, I was the biggest Bengals fan. And then, it was awful for a long time. And so when you go and you think, hey, this is the greatest team ever, and then for the rest of your childhood, it's a disaster. it's hard to trust them. And so I have a hard time I don't go to the games anymore. I wish I could. I'm too nervous. I'm too emotional. Maybe this year I can, sort of get past that and go to a game. But every time I've tried to get, to games here and there, but I always regret it because I'm just so emotional that it's easier to watch at home.
Oh, no, we're out of time. Yeah. Well, Greg, I mean, he paid a a very huge sum to be on
I paid
show,
absolutely nothing
but exactly
to be on
for
show.
7 minutes.
That's a huge sum around here. That's like our paychecks.
Yeah, that's how much we get paid too.
The question, Senator Lanceman, is what did you pay in dignity? Because you've lost a lot of it by coming here.
Mr. Landslide, so I want to go to patreon.com/DHSports and I want to tell you about our campaign. And our campaign is very much tied to the Bengals' success as well. The more they win, the more money we make also. And so the Bengals, okay, they were not winning for a long time. And so we were just getting by with five patrons for about $50 a month. Then they go to the Super Bowl and we're up to six, believe it or not, six patrons. And the thing is, that is how we buy so much of the greatest stuff that we do for Bridget. We got her, we told her to steal a laptop stand from her work. That was, and we got her lights from Walmart that sometimes work. And so I'm asking you to do what you can when you're on the streets, talking to the people, speaking the truth, to get out there and tell them, look, support the Number One Bengals podcast if you love your city, if you love your community.
Ah.
So, what do you have to say? Yeah.
We need the 13th member of the Supreme Court to Senator Lanceman. Do it for us.
I will definitely share it, and I will be a viewer. I will be a fan. This was very funny.
Thank you.
And I'm a big fan of Bridget. She's one of my favorite people, and you know.
Thank you.
She does great work here. Yeah.
Great work.
Yeah. Cheap work. Great work. Yeah. Thank you, Greg. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, I guess we can wrap this one up. So, John, any final thoughts about where the Bengals are headed and where the offseason is headed? When will we have actual things to talk about?
Yeah, I feel like Carson Palmer would go like 14-3 with this team. I agree, Daddy-O.
Okay, let's just wrap this up. So,
Hey, John, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, Elmo got vaccinated. Puppets are getting the COVID vaccine now. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, it's great for Elmo.
Everybody representing, should get vaccinated.
Representing the puppet community, making use of his platform and doing something that's right.
Apparently,
he
didn't take
puppets
to it because he's very red now. If you look at me and Hoji, we have very natural skin tones.
Well, Elmo is Bridget. Distant. Last time I went to get vaccinated, believe it or not, they actually turned me away. They said you've been vaccinated too many times. Can you believe that?
I think there's a Goldilocks approach to vaccination.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all we have for this show. So, for John Willie Nelson Sheeran.
Willie Nilly Sheeran.
Yeah.
Too many Willies here.
And HR. And Dr. Rajilakhtar Kasmoji. And Greg Landslide. Very nice of him to come on
Landsman.
The show. Yeah. That's all we have. Don't forget to subscribe and tell your friends to follow the show, like the show. We'll see you next time. So long. SVT. Bye.
Start clean with Clorox because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Not the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute.
No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.